Hi, welcome to the New Business Show. I'm Nigel Main, the founder and managing director of Sales Exchange. It's great you're here with us as we're embarking on a very special journey and unpacking the problems associated with generating new business, many of which are actually inflicted on B2B organisations by poor marketers. The audio in this podcast is taken from one of our live streams, which you can watch on our website, on Facebook, or on YouTube. So get ready for some serious revelations and some great ideas how you can change how you generate and attract new business. Welcome to the sixth live stream. This will be a fairly important one, I think. In fact, that's underplaying it. I think this is the most important live stream that I've done. And there's an important reason for this is that what I've been able to do throughout my career is look and review and understand and join dots. That's all I want. That's all I do. I join dots. And it doesn't matter whether it's business or personal. I join the dots. And joining the dots coming forward over the past 60, 70 years and understanding where businesses are now, like I said, it's got to be the most important live stream that I've ever done. And I'm just going to be looking over here, glancing over here, because that's where my notes are. But the reason it's so important is because businesses have a difficult time generating new business. And so this, at the end of the day, this is the new business show. So let's run the intro. Now, did that play? Well, we have to see. I just want to check on that. I'm pretty sure that the sound is there. And you guys, if you can just let me know if that played, because I don't need to get the feedback up here. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The point about this is that if we go back to the 1950s, give or take, 50s and 60s, we had the Mad Men. We had the people, as you can see me down here, you know, you've seen the show, you've probably seen the show, you know that it exists. We've got a situation here that means that, or a business scenario here, that businesses, to sell their products, used interruption marketing, TV, radio, and newspapers. But that was for business to consumer. For business to business, it had to be done through cold calling. And so that's how it's been for decades, absolutely decades. Yes, I know about the technology coming onto that. So allow for some timing here. So from the 50s up to 2000, around about 2000, CRM became ubiquitous. Most people installed, you know, whether it was Goldmine, Salesforce, Microsoft Dynamics, whatever it was. But people went down the route for... went down the route of attempting to exploit the data that they had, but use that for cold calling. So this is 2000. 10 years later, as development evolved and ESPs, email service providers evolved and so on, we then got marketing automation. And so everybody bought into marketing automation. Great, happy days for the marketing automation companies. And then 10 years later, where are we now? So come on to that in a second. But parallel to everything to do with B2B, and it does kind of apply to B2C, but we're B2B. This is the B2B business show. Parallel to that, the established business practices that were, you can call it imparted, I guess, by the financial institutions made sure that there were certain expectations of businesses. Businesses had to adhere to the financial compliance of banking and HMRC and so on and so on. And we go, well, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not challenging that per se. But what I am challenging is the point that every business, and I've got a slide, I've got to put the slide up. So we've got the financial institutions. So all of these, everybody, anybody that goes and gets trained and becomes an accountant and so on, they go through various bodies to become an accountant, and they say, this is what you're going to do, and this is how a set of accounts looks like, and this is how you will explain it to your clients, and this is what HMRC expect you to do and deliver a set of accounts with two specific rows in it. And those rows on your P&L, one for sales and one for marketing. But the trouble is, when people look at sales and marketing, they go, well, sales, marketing, marketing, sales. We are going to set our marketing up in this particular fashion, and we're going to set our sales people up in this particular fashion. And you have your sales directors, sales managers, sales people, you know, territory management, yada, yada, yada. And then you have people in marketing, field marketing, graphic design, blah, 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 blah. So here we are. We've got an acceptable worldwide structure for sales and marketing. Interchangeable in every country. No problem at all. However, in order to get, or for a business to function, it's got to generate new business. So what does it do? It goes back to cold calling. If you've been watching this over the past few weeks, I'm not a proponent, per se, of people in marketing at all, and you'll see why. So cold calling. Everybody goes back to cold calling because that's the de facto way of getting business, because you can't guarantee marketing. You get tiny, tiny percentages, especially in business to business. Now, when it goes in terms of cold calling, one person can dial 1,400 people a month, about 70 or so calls a day, 350 a week. The odds of finding someone that's interested in your product, and bearing in mind, is about 1%, give or take, of your total vertical market that you're going for are actually looking for something at any given time. So your telesales people, your salespeople making outbound calls can only make 1,400 calls a month. But they can only find maybe one person a week, give or take, that might be interested. That's not an appointment. That's just someone that's interested. Might receive something from you, will accept an email from you. How do you scale that? You can't. If you look at this particular graph, we know that the main blue bit at the bottom, you've got, I'm sure it's it's up to 10 employees. Of course, there's going to be more of them. So up to 10 employees, about 5.5 million people, 5.5 million businesses. So that's up to 10. 10 to 50, 200,000 businesses. 50 to 250, 36,000. 250 and above, 8,000. So based upon the numbers of businesses, unless you're selling to businesses that have got up to 10 people, you've got very, very little movement in a way. 212,000 businesses up to 50, 10 to 50. So that's it. Getting millions of hits on your website is never going to happen, ever. And if you sell to enterprises, even less. So looking at that, the key thing about this graph is that you'd understand, you know, 80 grand per person per annum turnover, up to 10. But it's only 130 odd up to between 10 and 50. And then as you get bigger, it moves up to 160, 170. But I think that's about 10 million. That's 5 million, above 5 million. So once you get above 5 million, it's about 168,000. I might as well keep these on. So the point here is that if over the past 3, 4, 5 decades, the turnover per person per annum for B2B, or most businesses, but hasn't increased, there has to be a reason for that. And it's because you can't scale your approach. If you wanted to sell Mars bars, sweets, food, whatever, your market is in the millions, which is why you advertise on television, because you're getting millions of people to buy it. But when it's B2B, a B2B product, you can't do that. We know that. And so because of this problem, you've got the situation where you've got business owners have an expectation of their staff, and marketing people come into a business and say, I am going to set your world alight. I'm going to make it all happen. And they go, okay, coming in. They come in, they fail, They spend 3 months trying to work out what the plan's going to be. They might have even done it at the interview stage. But they come in, 3 months to get it organised, 12 months to execute, and 3 months to find a new job because of 12 months, nothing happened. The average tenure of a chief marketing officer in the UK and in the States is 18 months. Average is 18 months. I know it, they know it, and the recruitment agencies and HR people know it as well. So everybody knows it. So that's the, I mean, I know Einstein didn't say it, but the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But that's what you've got with marketing people saying, I'm going to make everything happen for you. You go, well, what are you going to do differently? So the fundamental problem is that people are using this. I'm just making sure I don't jump ahead of myself. Looking at that, you've got 18 months, and people are saying, well, what we're going to do is maybe we should appoint a CRO. So get a chief revenue officer, and he'll take care of it and make it all happen and bring it all together, because there's always this tension between sales and marketing. But the reason there's tension between sales and marketing is because marketing provide, the KPIs given to marketing, they provide marketing qualified leads. Just a form being filled in is good enough. A sales KPI is, how much business have you done? Doesn't matter how nice they are, how much business have you done? Very different. But there's a kicker, there's a big problem here, in that when it comes to establishing a process for businesses, they say, right, we're going to have marketing automation, we're going to produce content, we get an email from the person that wants to download the documentation, and then we know they're interested in buying this product from us, and we can phone them up and make an appointment, go and sell it to them. So if that were the case, why have businesses not traversed 150 grand per person per annum? Why do 500,000 businesses start every year and half a million businesses fail every year? Why haven't they changed? Why hasn't someone come up with this, with a great idea? That was supposed to be the next best thing, was marketing automation, but it didn't work. It doesn't work. People, if they do find the content, they can only get it through a pay-per-click. Then they're forced into a transaction to download it. And if they don't like it, you've lost them. Madness. Absolute madness. But it serves a purpose because the marketing people get to wave a flag and say, we reached our KPIs. Meanwhile, businesses go bust all the time. So, you've then got this thing to do with chief revenue officers and chief growth officers. I think, well, okay, they tend to be interchangeable, and because businesses don't know what they're supposed to be doing, really, because how can these two new titles traverse marketing and be better than what they were doing before? Whenever they join, they go and get people to go and do more cold calling, which is nonsense, which means they actually don't know what they're talking about. Fact. I can say this because I've got something special. But I say they haven't got a clue. They've had years, decades to look and learn and listen and evaluate. And they've done nothing. They've done squat as far as I'm concerned. You can see I'm a bit emotional about this. But I'm emotional for the businesses that have gone bust because they've trusted and relied on marketing people to help them move forward, to move the needle, to move the business forward. And they fail every time. And it's a disgrace as far as I'm concerned. But there's light at the end of the tunnel. So when you look at this, when you look at and you understand the marketing, the key thing that we're trying to do and trying to get across is I want business owners to absolutely nail down and understand what's required in marketing and what's required in a business to grow it. If you're not growing, you don't stay where you are, you're going to contract. We both know that. And the thing with marketing is that there's an issue about when do you become recognised? And so if you have a situation, we know, everybody's told that the psychology of buying blah, 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 is we have to see something about 7 to 10 times before we see a product or a brand or a name as being recognisable and have some kind of affinity with it. So you go, okay, but when we send stuff out through B2B, there's so much rubbish out there. There's so much noise that only 1 in 3 get through. Therefore, you've got to have lined up 30 things to send out in order for 7 to 10 to be recognised. That's really important, because what most people do is they fail at the second or third hurdle. They do two or three, go, well, it's not working. But the reason it gets stopped is because it's so labor intensive to try and communicate with people and to get this information out. Even if you wanted to have a cold calling campaign, how do you, one person a week? You can't grow a business on that. We both know that. So that's what we've got. So if you're looking at what's being done and what has been done, if we look at an engagement funnel, I'm going to come over here. In terms of this engagement funnel, this is available. This is on a white paper, and it's on our website. So if you can't see it, if it's not big enough, don't worry about it. But what we're saying here is that at the top end, where are we? Up here. At the top end here, this is the low interest general content that gets created just about here. And the point with that is that businesses need to get to know you. They need to recognize it, I see it. I might read it now. So they see it a number of times. But like I said, to produce lots of content for this is time consuming. But there's a link from there, because it goes, they start looking at the general content that you're producing, and then you have secondary content. Your secondary content is news. News and information that could be produced and sent out, like doing live stream with news, sending out news, having news clippets and snippets within your website that get recognized on your sitemap via Google as news. But it just keeps the information going. This news could be emailed to people as well if you wanted to. From there, you move down to your primary content. And this is the problem, fundamental problem, is that your primary content presents you as a thought leader. It's you explaining what you do. It's you demonstrating your ability and prowess and your structure to prospective customers. It's you being able to educate people before they buy from you. But marketing came along and said, oh, bit of content here, what we'll do, we'll chuck it on behind a curtain. We won't give anybody access to it unless they give us their email address, and bingo, if they download it, then you can speak to them and get an appointment. And it sounds great, but we don't do it. Every business owner says, well, I quite like the look of that, but I'm not going to do anything because I know they're just going to pester the life out of me. But that's that bit there, that's the important bit, is to show people this is who we are. We're really good at what we do. And that encourages them. And then from there, you've got the next part, which is your products. And so then one links to the other, links to the other. And once they've seen the products, then it will and should link. If they're that engaged with you, they will move on to speaking to you, and you can present and do whatever you do. But the whole thing about this is scalability. And structure is making sure that your people adhere to a structure, because if they don't, this is the big problem again, is that people knock out blogs, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs of a blog, and think that that's sufficient. It's not. Google expects between 2,000 and 6,000 words with a specific structure to it, which is here. And again, all of this here, this is all on our website. You can download it. It's no issue. But the important thing here is to say that if you want to appear on page one of Google, Google reads your content like we've got here in this particular structure and says, it is structured properly. It looks right. It's got embedded pictures and graphics and infographics and video, bullet points, number points, and so on. And it's written clearly so a 12-year-old could understand it. These people know what they're talking about. We'll put it on page one. Apart from you competing with other people, but bearing in mind, if the rest of your content all links and it's done properly, you'll get on page one. Forget all this SEO nonsense. Oh, you've got to do this, you've got to do... SEO is about writing for people, to engage and communicate with people. So that's, this is all about the processes. You must have these in place. It's essential to have these in place. And the preeminent methodology to scale and grow your business is, without a shadow of a doubt, is live streaming, because you can buy in a database, you can have a database, you can communicate with 10,000 people a week, and 1% of them will actually be looking at what you're doing. 10,000 people, 100 people to watch your live stream. Magic. I mean, absolutely brilliant. I mean, it couldn't be better. And this is what our live streams are about. It's showing you a different application for something that hitherto has always been used either for something that's a bit geeky, you know, someone doing knocking out a live stream from their bedroom or from a selling perfume or selling makeup. But the thing about this is becoming more and more popular. We don't want, we're not talking about doing multi-point Zoom calls, but it's about communicating with an audience that are looking to buy your products and telling them that you do a live stream, creating a schedule, and so on. But the kicker, it doesn't matter what you do, the bottom line is, if you are drawn towards having those two rows on your P&L that say sales and marketing, and you just fall into the trap of setting up your sales and marketing like you've always done before, you're not going to move forward. Now, the next graphic, you'll see me in the, I think it's a bit amusing. Hi. The point of this is that the rows that people have on their P&L just says sales and marketing. But there are problems within that. This column here for technology. Technology is something that every business uses. Yes, we know that. But with so much MarTech, as they keep saying, being managed and organized within marketing, you then look at the churn in marketing, means that intelligence comes in and keeps going at a rate of every 6 to 18 months. So you can never keep people that are doing the same thing again and again. So you keep losing your staff. Not good. I mean, it's madness. So if you shift it away to move it over to technology, to a technology, I don't want to call it a silo, but a technology department, then they can organize and manage everything that's required for everything in marketing, everything in the business, everything to do with IT, with laptops and drives and hubs and everything that's required. They look after it because they have an aptitude and an ability to grasp this stuff quickly. And with a bit of training to them, then they can do the necessary work that they are instructed to by the people in the middle. Now, the people in the middle, it used to be called marketing. Stop calling it marketing. Call it content. Have a chief content officer. Or you could call that chief content officer an editor-in-chief. But you can see you've got technology, content. These content people do the writing, do the videos, do the podcasts, do the live stream. They're reporters and presenters and interviewers. Yes, you have graphic design. Yes, you have people that would place adverts, but the adverts are to drive people to your live stream. If you think about this just for a minute, if you start doing a live stream, start marketing your live stream, people can visit you and see you anonymously. Think about that for a minute. You do. I don't know who's watching. I have no idea. Apart from people that are messaging me saying, yeah, it works and the sound's okay and the music's okay. Apart from that, I don't know. So it's an anonymous way of communicating about your business to the people that actually want to look at you. So you tell your target market, hey, we're doing a live stream on Thursday about this. And here's our next 12 weeks. They go, well, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. Oh, that's interesting. I'll watch that. And you can put, like I've done with the emails that you've seen, put links in emails that say, click this link, and it'll take you to. It flips your exposure exponentially. So I'll come back onto technology and content in a minute. Just move on to revenue. Revenue. Chief Revenue Officer. Well, that makes sense. Revenue is every single penny that comes into the business, someone is responsible for. Pre-sales, direct sales, new business sales, operations. You can read it as well, but you know, you got everything to do with the way that they communicate product and what you do as an organization that has the outcome and expectation of generating revenue. And then you've got installation training, service and support. All of those generate revenue. So therefore, a chief revenue officer to be in charge of that makes a great deal of sense. Absolutely to me, absolutely. Happy days, good luck to them. But don't let them get involved in marketing because they're still on the cold calling mentality. Keep them away from marketing, but get them to concentrate on revenue. So that leads me on to... I'm just going to make sure I've got it all set up here because I haven't. This picture in picture. Picture in picture is me. Anyway, what I've got here is a spreadsheet. Now, this spreadsheet, you can see... if we just scroll just up a little bit. Yes, you've got the CEO. Yes, you've got the CEO at the top of the tree and you've got all the different respective departments. But the person looking after technology, content and revenue is the chief growth officer. To me, that makes so much sense. Because if you've taken away the selling bit, the sales row and the marketing row, this infrastructure, this organizational chart flips it and says, right, we've got a group of people running our software and our software engine, our business engine to drive this company forward. We've got a group of people that are producing content and doing interviews and Zoom and just having a blast doing it to attract people into this ultimate funnel that means if it's done properly, and if I just scroll down on this middle one, you're looking where we've got attraction. You look at all the editor-in-chief. I'll read this off if it might be too small for you, I'm not sure, but editor-in-chief approves everything, deals with PR with internally, with external agencies or whatever, and has a dotted line to legal, which makes sense. You've got a content and schedule manager, copywriter, videographer, podcaster, photographer, reporter, presenter, graphic designer, e-commerce people looking at product pricing and image management for e-commerce, and advertising content placement manager. So that's all the persona and vertical analysis, SEO, SEM, pay-per-click if required and so on. It's a lot of activity there. It's not dissimilar to what you've experienced or what you understood to be marketing, but this is driven towards attraction. And where we've got here, we've got this videographer. The thing about video, and this is a key thing about digital transformation, everybody talks about it. Talk about the emperor's new clothes. I read a statistic, it said 90% of digital transformation projects fail. It's like, man, that's nuts. But I have a view, which of course I would have a view, which is I think that it's actually jobs for the boys. People want to generate new business. It's like, well, we can't get it in cold calling. We can't get marketing to do it. We can't get sales to do it. They're just doing the same old, same old. We've never moved the needle. We've never increased our turnover per person per annum. So we might as well look at digital transformation and CX and UX and, UI, customer experience, user experience, user interfaces and all this other stuff. Maybe we should be doing that. Maybe we do need an app. I don't know. But let's do a transformation project and look to engage all of our customers. Who are your customers? They include your staff. Your staff are still your customers. They still interact. They still have, you know, depending on size of your business. So you have to look at your business with through different lenses, with a different understanding of what's achievable and why, and then work towards something for the future. And that's one of the big issues, is that people find it very difficult to do this because they've never got enough money. They've never got enough new business coming in to warrant splashing out loads of money on something, unless they're going to get a loan or get investment for it, because they think that's the best thing to do. And it's just madness, absolute madness. So the approach that we suggest and recommend is that if you are able to hold back the floodgates and the massive employment that's required of managing a large marketing team and a large sales team and BDRs, and say, okay, we've got the Easter break coming up. My suggestion to you is you think about this. This is really, really important. It is possible, this is a bit tongue-in-cheek, it is possible to fire, lay off or make redundant your whole marketing team, all of your BDRs, and halve your salespeople, your sales team. Not straight away, but that's the plan, is to get rid of them all. And in their place, you'll have a handful of people doing live stream like this. I mean, I sent out an email at 10:30, yeah? You got the email at 10:30. We know that. It's just one click. I could have sent that out to 1 million people. It's one click. It's not rocket science. This is not difficult. You know, you've installed printers, copiers, computer systems, different software. You've had people come in and train you to use them. So this is no different. I'm sitting in front of a laptop and a camera. Some other bits and pieces, but you know, you can set this up just with just putting your mobile phone onto a near field communicating disc, and it'll turn everything on and set everything up. All you have to do is just click go live. That's it, and talk. And if you're not happy talking, have someone sitting next to you. Talk to them. Have a third person. Have an interview. Have a chat. Video podcast, but do it live. Because it means there's no, can't stress this enough, because I know how long it takes me to edit. Requires no editing. Not at all. You know, when we finish this, it'll be, bye. Just watch the intro. There's some links on there. See you next week. That's it, finished. Watch it on catch up on Facebook or YouTube or on your website. Handful of people. So you lose you don't need all these people, because you now know what your content needs to look like. Get your content done. Get your primary pieces of content done. Get them on your website. Ungate everything that you've got. Let people find it. You know, all your content will have your contact details on it, pictures of you, all the necessary things for people to go, oh, I quite like the look of that company. I could do business with them. Because that's what you want to get across. You can't get that across in some technical document. You want to, you know, people by people. You know, you want to see the whites. They want to see the whites of your eyes. You don't want to forget about you seeing the whites of their eyes. They want to see what you're like. They want to know, can I do business with these people? And the flip side is, do you want to do business with those people? Some people you do and some people you don't. Tim Ferriss, I don't know if you've read the 4-Hour Workweek, he ended up selling, put some people in charge of his company, did an analysis of all his customers and got rid of 90% of them, passed them on to other people, didn't want to deal with them. Kept the best and then hoofed it around the world. So you think about this, you know, you only need a handful of people who could reach tens of thousands. Like we said, depending on what your market is, you've either got 5.5 million, 200,000, 36,000, or 8,000. That's it. In the UK, that is, obviously. And if you sell to different, you know, to two of them, happy days, you've got 250,000, maths of rubbish, yeah, about 250,000 businesses up to 250, as in 10 to 250. So whatever your market is, there's a finite number, and there's all these people all selling, all doing the same thing. And then you come along and say, right, well, that's it. I've had enough of this. I've had enough grief to last me a lifetime. I'm going to do live streaming, cut my costs, increase my reach. This is perfection. You can slash your costs and increase your reach. Change those rows on your account, your set of accounts. Because accountants don't care. You know, people say, they go to accountants and go, what am I supposed to do? And they go, oh, I don't know, sell your house. They're there, they are number specialists. They're tax specialists. They are not new business development specialists because they still understand about cold calling. They understand about networking because that's how they get the business. They understand about referrals, which are, I was going to say something, they're not rocking hot, but they're few and far between. So the only way, how do you generate new business? You've got to have a reach. You must have a reach. But if we were saying, go and do something like this and it will cost you, oh, it's only like 500 grand, you wouldn't do it. Go on television, you wouldn't do it. It's too expensive. This is about laser-targeted marketing to your vertical market to tell them that they can watch you. And this is the top of the fictional funnel. And once they get into that and they keep watching you and they can go to your website and they can look at everything about you. They can look at what you say, what you think, what you do. Everything is accessible. And if you want an example of that, go to our website. Message me. Yes, of course. You can message me right now on Facebook and say, hi, like it, don't like it. What about this? Ask me a question. Put hashtag no name and I won't say who you are, but I'll answer the question. But the point is, nobody, to my knowledge, and I spend a lot of time online, nobody to my knowledge is saying, go live, slash your costs, exponentially increase your reach, and get profitable, and decide what you want to do in the future. You want to exit? Have something to exit from. You know, that's the bottom line. You don't want to just keep working and busting the gut just to tick over. You want to get to a point where you can say, right, well, we've done this. We can control how much business we've got coming in. This is great. We need to extend our database. This is amazing. We've got 100 new people joining us every week. This is brilliant. But you've got to do something. And cold calling and marketing, current marketing methodologies, are pants. They don't work. They've not worked for decades. And you have been firing marketing people every 18 months and pretty much everybody in the marketing space. There's a constant churn. Recruitment agencies love marketing. Constant churn because the marketers either see the writing on the wall or you fire them. So it's really important that, you know, you've got this week, you've got this weekend, next weekend, think about this. You can't rush at this. You just have to think about it and go, well, what would it cost us? Next to nothing. I mean, the fact you can hold your phone up and go live. So you could say it costs you absolutely nothing. And you can go and do it. But I think I said this last week, but you wouldn't do that. You go, well, actually, well, we want to look smart. You know, we're an X million turnover company. We're not going to knock out a bit of live streaming on an iPhone. You'll set up a studio, you'll get some templates done, some graphics and green screen and this and that and the other and set it up and just do it properly. And we come and set it up and we'll set everything up for you and train everybody and get all the tech. We'll do everything for you. But that's further down the line. The main thing is for you to kind of grasp this and go, I see what he means. I get it. It's not rocket science. It's just that, why wouldn't you set up a P&L with sales and marketing? Everybody does it. And then you start to realise that there is a problem. I think I'm just going to scroll down and make sure, I'm pretty sure I have covered everything. Pillars of growth, technology, organisational chart we covered, everything's downloadable off from our website. So, you know, in terms of resources, there's white papers. The last slide, we've got a playbook and a white paper and other downloads that everything that we produce in-house. Everything that we do online, we do everything. Everything that you see, everything, all the technology, absolutely everything is done in-house. We have absolutely no external support or agencies whatsoever. That's the whole website infrastructure, every single brochure. You know, we use those people. Some people will know what I'm talking about. We use the complete creative suite with Adobe. So that's Premiere, After Effects, Audition, Illustrator, InDesign, Photoshop, a bit of Dreamweaver. And then all of this with all the streaming software, multiple locations. So we stream to Facebook and to YouTube at the same time. Still waiting on LinkedIn at the moment. What can you say? But then it'll be to LinkedIn. So we stream in three different locations. And the more often you stream, the better, because people get to recognise it. However, what happens from this live stream is recorded. Okay, fine. You watch it on catch up on Facebook or LinkedIn or YouTube. We also put it on our website. So we've got a recording. We then take the audio and put the audio on our podcast platform. So now we've got a podcast. We then take a transcript from this. We put it through our system, and it creates a written transcript. And we put the transcript on our website, which means Google references the transcript and confirms that this page is about on our website. Regarding the video, we put the transcript into the metadata of the video. And that tells the voice search engines what the video is about as well. As well as putting the captions from this onto the video that we have on our website. So we're talking about massively increasing the usefulness of just sitting there talking to the camera. And anybody that thinks, oh, I can't talk to a camera, you can, trust me. Especially if there's two or three of you or four of you, bit of banter, bit of a laugh, doing what you're doing, and then start looking at the schedule that you can produce and say, well, actually, we can do this. One week we'll do this, next week we'll do that. Oh, then we'll get so-and-so. We use them a lot. We get our suppliers in. We'll do some live streaming with our customers. We're getting our customers in. You think, actually, this room's looking a bit shabby. Maybe we should spruce it up a bit. Make it look like a studio. Come to our studio immediately. You are leaping ahead of your competition. Your staff can come in a pair of jeans and give them a paintbrush. But the bottom line is you could spend millions on this. But we haven't. We've gone through the learning curve and the pain and, oh, we didn't do that. Well, I did a live stream the other day. And I had an adapter on the top of the camera, which meant that the sound was going to the adapter, but we didn't have any microphones plugged into the adapter. The microphone was plugged into the camera. Ugh. And the sound wasn't very good. So, you live and learn. And if anything goes wrong, it's like, well, we look to support you at the beginning and handhold and do the hosting. If you want to do the hosting, we go and do the hosting as well. And I just realised I've got a blue shirt on, and I'm not sure if that works particularly well on the green screen, but never mind. Good job it wasn't green. That's it from me. The point is, I'm just going to check this last bit, this bottom bit. It's food for thought. It has to be food for thought. We've got a very different message to every other, I don't want to use the word marketing, but if we were, to every other agency, marketing agency or new business development agency, whatever you want to call us, we have a very, very, very different approach. I've been in business for 35 years. I know what it's like to cold call. I've employed loads of people cold calling. I've done the CRM. I've done the automation. I've done the integration, done dialing from the screen. I've done all of it. Configured and set everything up myself. I've done absolutely all of it. And I've had been on a quest to find out, how do you scale getting new business? And this is it. It's like, I'm not saying my work is done here, but I can't tell you how relieved I am, having been searching for this. And I had to pull apart marketing to find out. I realized that marketing was a waste of time in its current form. It's a mess. And people are just, it's a job in it, so what? So that's it from me. About next week. Next week, there'll be more than one, two, maybe three of us. And we're going to talk about the different applications this can have. So we're not just talking live stream, but we'll talk about all the other different applications this can be used for and how versatile it is and some of the experiences we've had and so on. And then a bit later, the week after that, we've got a completely new format. So we've been working on that with all the sliding titles and all this kind of stuff. So we'll get onto that as well. But anyway, that's it from me. How are we doing? 45 minutes, that's not so bad. I could talk for England, but I won't. Anyway, have a great day tomorrow and Friday. Have a nice weekend. And I will see you in the next one. Bye for now. Where's it gone? Where's my outro gone? It's gone back to the green screen. So this is a great way of looking at this. So you go, oh dear, we have a problem. I'll go back to the other screen first. Let me just go and find out where it is. I might have to look at it and go, what? It's got rid of it. Well, I'm a bit flummoxed, really. It's not so much all the gear and no idea, but I think what I might do, this should work, and I'll see you in the next one.